doing 10,000 hours of anything makes you an expert. So I'm pretty sure that makes me almost expert level in feeding children. I spend a lot of my time with my family thinking about feeding the kids. I think about what developmental stage the kids are at, what their nutritional needs are, what they're capable of eating, what they're willing to eat, what I want them to learn how to like to eat. Even though I spend a lot of time feeding them now, I don't want that to be the case always. I don't want to be spoon-feeding them applesauce when they're university students. So I feel like my goal as a parent regarding my children's eating habits is two things. I want to feed them food that is healthy and appropriate so that they will grow and develop properly. But I also want to teach them how to feed themselves so that they can make healthy choices when they become adults and take care of themselves. I want them to know how to make healthy choices. I want them to have the self-discipline to make healthy choices. And I want them to know the whole process from meal planning to grocery shopping to cooking and eating. I spent a lot of my time working on stuff for Damascus Road thinking about feeding people spiritually. Well, we actually do a lot of physical eating too, so I actually plan a lot of meals for church stuff as well. So we do a lot of physical eating in our community, but we also do a lot of spiritual eating. And so I want all of us as disciples to grow into spiritual adults who know how to make healthy spiritual nutrition choices and to develop the self-discipline to make those choices for themselves. We all need to learn how to feed ourselves spiritually. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a person in process who's eager to learn and apply the truths that Jesus teaches him or her, which will result in an ever-deepening commitment to a Jesus lifestyle. There are several analogies in the Bible about spiritual truths being like physical food. So one way to look at discipleship is the process of learning how to eat spiritually. Jesus called himself the bread of life, and several New Testament teachers talk about spiritual milk and spiritual meat. And that analogy follows the process of a human child learning how to eat and learning how to feed themselves and growing into an adult. So let's talk about how people learn how to feed themselves, since that's something I'm an expert at now. And then we'll talk about the spiritual equivalent for that analogy. Feeding your children starts with being pregnant as a mother. And we can see that even the apostles looked at themselves as mothers, as spiritually nurturing the people that they were teaching. So you start as a mother to think about your baby growing inside of you. My fifth child is due in the middle of November, so I am constantly and continually feeding her the way that God made that function within my own body. But the nutrition that she gets is largely dependent on what I put into my body. So I need to be eating enough protein so that she grows healthy and strong. And I need to take certain nutrients like folic acid to make sure that her spinal cord closes properly when, you know, at the beginning of pregnancy. So I have to know what I'm putting into my body because that's nourishing my baby. Once babies are born, whether you're formula feeding or breastfeeding, you think about what is in the milk that is being given to the baby. If you're formula feeding, you want to make sure that it's a formula that is nutritionally fortified so that the baby's getting the nutrient-dense food that they need. If you're breastfeeding, you have to think again about what you're eating because what goes into your body will go into the milk and will be passed on to the baby. Then at about 6 months of age, you add developmentally appropriate foods for children at textures that they can handle, usually one or two foods at a time, usually fruit and vegetable purees. You spoon it into their mouths, and you teach them how to eat. You teach them the mechanics of eating. Babies have a tongue thrust where they push out anything that you put in their mouth. So you have to wait till they've overcome that so you can actually get them to keep the food in their mouths. Then you have to teach them how to use utensils, forks and knives or chopsticks or whatever you culturally use to eat your food. You have to teach them how to put food on a fork and get it into their mouths or a spoon, whatever you're teaching them. Eventually, then they can chew meat and they can pick up food and they can feed themselves. My youngest right now is Providence and she's almost two. And she's ready. She has enough teeth. She could eat the steak that I made for my husband's birthday dinner this past week. But I had to cut it in really small pieces for her. And then I cut the pieces increasingly larger for the rest of the kids according to their age and their developmental stage. Catherine is my oldest. And I cut her meat in pretty big bites, and then I started cutting them smaller, and she said, no, Mom, I can eat it like that. My mouth is not as small as Providence's is. So she got to eat her steak in bigger pieces. I give them gradual independence to make their own food choices. Estelle is 3, and if I let her choose what she would eat, she's not ready to plan her own meals. She would probably eat chocolate for breakfast with a side of gummy bears, and then for lunch, she would probably want a Nutella with Hagel Slag sandwich, and then for dinner, she would probably want mushroom pizza. So Estelle is not allowed to choose her own food at this point. Joshua and Catherine are 6 and 8. They're able to start making better food choices for themselves, so I've let them pack their school lunches sometimes. They'll usually end up packing a peanut butter or Nutella sandwich, but also adding carrot sticks or an apple and drinking water. So I want them to start having independence and making those good choices for themselves. And then I want to teach them how to obtain food for themselves. So even though it is stressful and drives me crazy, I take them with me to the grocery store because they need to see me selecting good food. They need to know how to pick out good meat and how to know when produce is ripe and what it takes to make a meal for a family. So we go grocery shopping together and we cook together. Even though it makes a disaster and it takes 3 times as long to cook, it's important for them to do that process with me. And now they're learning. Catherine and Joshua can both make scrambled eggs. They know how to make me coffee in the morning, which is excellent. The other morning, I think it was last weekend, my husband and I were in bed trying to sleep in. All the kids were awake, and we said, hey, Catherine and Joshua, why don't you guys go make breakfast and coffee? They produced scrambled eggs and lattes. I feel like all that hard work is paying off now. Teaching children to eat involves giving them options and then encouraging them toward healthy things, teaching them how to eat vegetables, as much of a battle as that might be. It's teaching them what are proper foods to eat, and it's teaching them what are not proper foods to eat, like cat food. So that's how children learn to eat. How do people learn how to spiritually eat? After Jesus was baptized, he went out into the desert and he fasted for 40 days. And Satan came and tempted him. And one of the temptations that Satan gave him was tempting him to turn the stones into bread to break his fast. And Jesus said, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What is the word? John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself is the word of God. In John 6, Jesus was teaching many people, about 5,000 men and even more women and children, and he wanted to feed them. And Philip said, one of his disciples said, where are we going to get the money to feed all of these people? But a little boy gave the small loaves of bread that he had, and Jesus blessed them and he multiplied them, and they handed them out and they fed all of those people with plenty left over. Then Jesus went away. And the next day, some of the people who had seen him do that miracle came and found him. And they wanted to follow him. And he said, you just want to be with me because I fed you. But don't be so concerned about physical food. You need to spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I can give you. And they said, okay, well, show us another miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. Our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. As the scriptures say, Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And he now offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said, sir, give us that bread every day. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person on the last day. So our bread, our spiritual sustenance, the core of our spiritual nutrition, is believing in Jesus and learning what God the Father says about Jesus. We remember this when we break bread together and we celebrate communion and we eat his body. We eat that spiritual bread. Peter and Paul and the writer of Hebrews all make the same analogy about basic teachings for new believers being like milk and teaching for mature believers being like meat. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. And that comes from the good news that was preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. What is that pure spiritual milk? Well, it's the basic teachings. It's the good news of Jesus, believing in him. And baby Christians are very easily deceived. So those who are discipling new believers need to make sure that the teaching they give them is accurate. So then what is spiritual meat? Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about the differences between what he taught to them and what he taught to believers who were spiritually mature, basically saying, you guys are not spiritually mature. He said, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. You're still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another. You quarrel with each other. Doesn't that mean that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? And the writer of Hebrews says similarly, there's so much more that we would like to say to you about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you're someone who cannot eat solid food. We have to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So then what is spiritual meat? Those are challenging teachings. That's more fully understanding the mysteries of God's plan being revealed and the challenge to live righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit. So first we start with the bread. So Jesus is the bread of life. We break bread at communion, and we remember his body broken for us on the cross. Believing in Jesus gives us eternal life. This is the core of our spiritual nutrition. Okay, next, we drink the pure milk of the basic teachings about Jesus, who Jesus is and how he lived, the basic teachings. Okay, then we increase the complexity of what we learn. We have spinach with potato. It's a nice, smooth consistency that a baby can eat without choking. We increase the complexity of what we learn, and we grow in righteous living as the Holy Spirit helps us do that. Okay, then we get to the spiritual meat. Have a lovely piece of grilled steak here. As we mature, we're able to eat spiritual meat. We can understand and we can apply the more challenging teachings about living according to the way God wants us to live. And then we become mature enough to teach others. Now, finally, we have a piece of chocolate cake with chocolate buttercream that I made yesterday. Psalm 119 says, "How sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than honey." If we're growing mature, learning to study God's word will be sweet to us. It'll be something that we want and that we enjoy. So how do we apply this teaching to our lives? We all should be disciples, and we all should be learners. We also should be growing into being disciple makers and being mature enough to teach other people. So to apply this to ourselves as disciples, we have to remember that sometimes it's challenging to make the right nutritious decisions as we're growing and maturing. I know what healthy eating looks like. I've studied a lot about nutrition, but I don't always want to make healthy choices. Salad isn't going to do me any good if I just know that it's good, if I don't choose to eat it. I mean, bacon is one of my favorite foods, but that's not good for me to eat in excess. So I still have to develop the discipline to make the choices. And our meals vary. Sometimes we want to just grab a quick bite on the run, and sometimes we linger at a meal for hours. The top picture was a few months ago. I got a snack at Burger King, and I put the bag of fries in the baby bike seat in front of me, and I was eating curly fries as I cycled home. That was a quick meal on the run. Last night, I had a four-course dinner that lasted 6 hours. I didn't get home until like 2 in the morning, and it was incredible. the table setting was beautiful, the food was amazing, conversation, and we lingered and we enjoyed it. So sometimes we pray quickly on the run and we spend a few minutes reading the Bible before we leave for work or on our lunch break. And sometimes we spread out our study materials and we spend hours really studying God's word. And there's a place for both of those in our spiritual life, both the quick meals and the lingering meals. As disciple makers, we have to remember that kids will eat what we eat. So what we show them is important. They're going to want to eat our food. You know a baby's ready for solid food when they're sitting in their high chair and trying to reach what you have off of your plate instead of eating the spinach with apples that you're trying to feed them. So my parenting model for nutrition is that I want to show my kids how to eat well by the way that I eat. They spend time around me as we shop and as we cook. So they absorb a lot by watching me. But I also take time to have conversations with them and give them specific instruction about why we make certain healthy eating choices. And that's the discipleship model that we can follow too. Jesus modeled for his disciples how to live. He showed them how to pray. He showed them how to serve. They just watched him as they walked along the road with him. But also there are times that he would take a few of them aside, or all of them, and he would give them specific instruction. The early church followed that model as well. They spent time together. They shared meals together. They shared everything in common. They also took time to listen to the apostles' teaching. Priscilla and Aquila, for example, took Apollos aside to teach him the way of God more fully. So Damascus Road has been living in community in our Connect groups. We've been doing serving and praying together. We've had Serve the City projects. We've gone on mission trips. We've had missions prayer meetings and morning prayer and the Valkenburg prayer meetings. And so we've lived discipleship. But now we're going to pull the disciples aside for that intentional instruction in spiritual eating. So that's why we're starting these discipleship groups this month. It's to give that intentional instruction and help people grow to the next stage spiritually. So let's eat, or as they say in Dutch, smakelijk eten.